Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, can sleep paralysis open you up to seeing things when you're actually awake? Or is there more than one thing going on?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is. And if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear about it. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. If writing is your thing, then write in, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like an ad-free version of the show, you can get that. You'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber. You can do that a few ways. Go through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. Sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. That's Harper, and this is like take two. Because yes, we actually did all this a minute ago, and I looked down and I hadn't hit record. So, okay, we're officially recording now.
Okay, but I'm doing great.
You're doing great. And we were just talking about that, but nobody knows it. But I'm really excited that your cat came back.
Which, yeah, I am too.
I am so surprised that happened because it was 3 to 4 weeks your cat was gone.
About 5 weeks, actually.
And you have a wooded area behind your house.
Oh, we have a very wooded area. It's just woods that goes on and on and on. It's crazy.
You know, and a cat out there with all the other predators, you don't know what else is out there.
I'm surprised my cat didn't get killed.
I am too. I'm so glad that your cat somehow made its way into one of the traps that you guys had put down. So you caught several raccoons and possums.
We named three of the raccoons and one of the possums.
And their names were
Marvin, Jerry, and Tom. And then the possum was Joe.
Because you kept seeing the same ones, it felt like, over and over.
Yeah. To be honest, when I was starting to think, like, when we did get my cat back, that it would be, like, stuck in a cage with, like, a raccoon and then eaten alive.
Oh.
That's what I was going to think would happen. There.
You know, the traps have been out for a long time. It wasn't like you just started with the traps a couple days before Bubbles decided to go in. You'd been trapping the other animals for weeks.
To be honest, I'm starting to lose hope, and I think you were too.
I was starting to lose hope. Because at that amount of time, then you start wondering, you know, did something else happen to the cat?
Am I going to go out into the woods one day and find my cat's dead body?
And so one night last week, out of the blue, I get a text from you in all capitals, and it's like, he's home or something like that.
I can read back the text.
I literally got tears in my eyes when I got that from you.
I'm going to find the text, actually, just because I want to. I said, we found him. He's home. And then you go, are you serious? And then you also say, I'm so happy about that.
I was. So,
then I sent you a picture saying he's home, and I'm crying right now. And then you text me, he got in the trap? And I go, yep.
And the picture is a Bubbles in the trap.
Yes. And then she goes, I have tears in my eyes too. And then I send you a picture of the cat eating at home with an emoji that says, he's home. And then you say, you're going to be watching him so closely. And I go, yep. Because he was very skinny.
How's he doing now that he's been home? Does he seem super chill and...
Oh, he's super chill, actually. He's not, I thought he would like come back feral.
You know, that happened to me, and we discussed that. I had a cat that got out for several weeks. Actually, we moved across the street, two houses down, across the street, two houses to the east. That was it. And my cat decided it was just too far, I guess, and didn't want to move there. And so we couldn't catch him. And it was weeks, and I'd go over and leave food, and the food would be eight, but it could have been eight by a raccoon or a possum or anything, another cat. And then finally we caught him, and it had been 3 weeks. And I was thinking the same thing. The cat's going to be feral. It's going to be hard to keep him in now. And he was like, I never want to go through that again. I'm staying close.
You see, my cat is such an old man that he sits in chairs, and he has never left the chair ever since he got home.
He's just like, I love this place so much. Oh, well, I am so happy. That was the best news.
Hang on. My microphone just fell.
Oh, like for no reason?
Yeah. It was like something knocked it over. Because, like, I have a pretty, like, stable microphone stand.
Just as we get ready to talk about paranormal stuff, your mic decides to just fall over.
There's been weird stuff happening lately in the house.
Really?
I've been seeing things out of the corner of my eye. Like, I feel like I'm being followed. Ooh, the other day I heard some, like, really weird sounds coming from my back fence. But it was, like, it wasn't, like, a machine or anything. It was, like, a living sound, and it didn't sound like a bird. But it was, like, right behind the fence. And I'm sure it's not a frog, because frogs don't sound like that. They don't sound like weird growling noises.
So it was
like
a growling sound?
It was distorted growling.
Ooh.
So you know what I did? I said a prayer and I went inside.
I do not need this. Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan.
So are you up to talking about ghosts and stuff today?
Of course I am. Of course I'm gonna always going to be up for that.
Okay, so we've got a phone call today. Here you go.
Hi, my name's Marcella. I have a story. It's actually my first time listening to your guys' podcast, so I'm not too sure if this is going to make the cut. But I've had a couple experiences while at my house, at my mother's house. I don't live there anymore, so I don't know if she's experienced anything since I've been gone. But anyways. The first time I experienced something was when I was around, I want to say maybe 10 or 11 years old. At the time, my sister was living at the house, and so was my brother. We actually had bunk beds. My sister and I shared the top bunk, while my brother had the bottom bunk. Anyways, one day in the middle of the night, let's just say 3 o'clock, just for the heck of it, why not? 3 a.m., I wake up and I just have just really, really thirsty, very, very parched. So usually I can just go back to sleep, override the feeling. But for some reason, I just really wanted to get up, go get that drink of water. So I did. I go down my stairs from the top bunk, and how my apartment was set up, you're able to look straight down into the hallway once you open the door from my room, and you'll just see the room to my mother's room, the door to my mother's room, and then you will also see the door to the bathroom. And right off to the left is the living room, but there's a wall right there, so you can't see beyond that wall, so you're not able to look inside the living room while looking straight down from my bedroom door. So just going on like a normal night, just trying to go get something to drink. I walk down the hallway, I make my left, and I stop because I see just, to me, what it looked like was it looked like a girl dressed in all white. It was just like a long, honestly, it looked like a long white t-shirt, not a dress or anything like that. And it looked like she was praying. She had long, dark hair, and she was just perched up on the TV stand, her hands, prayer formation, and just long, dark hair. And I kind of just stood. It was a little bit frozen, honestly. I was a little shocked because I was couldn't really believe what I was seeing. And her head slowly starts to turn. And I get just a bad feeling. It's not like like I was going to see a nice face when she turned. All I know is that I just did not want to see what was going to happen as soon as she turned around. So as she's turning her head very slowly, I back up until I hit the wall. And once I finally hit that wall, it kind of just shocked me. And I went out of shock, actually. Sorry. Went out of shock. And made it back to my room, and I woke up my sister. I didn't want to tell her what I saw. I kind of wanted to see if she was going to see it as well. So I just woke her up, asked her if she can get me a glass of water, and she agreed. So she climbs down the bunk bed, and as she's climbing down the bunk bed, I decide that now I have the courage to see what that face looks like if she's still there. So I go, and of course, she wasn't there anymore. My sister gets up, she goes into the kitchen, grabs me my glass of water, and that was the end of that. then it goes on maybe a next year or maybe another year after 2 years. I was cleaning my room, and we don't have any younger kids at the time anyway. There wasn't anybody my mother was babysitting or any nieces or nephews that were pretty young. But I was cleaning my closet, and I saw a handprint of a child, and it was clear as day, just a handprint on the wall. And I got very confused. I'm like, what the heck? How did this get here? I've cleaned my closet multiple times. I've been in and out of here grabbing clothes and sweaters and anything that I need to get from this area, and I've never seen a handprint. And I got a little freaked out. I told my sister. My sister comes into the room. She takes a look at it, and I think she was trying to protect me. I was still kind of young when this was going on, so she probably didn't want me to get scared. But she said that she'd seen that handprint there before, but on the look of her face when I showed her that handprint, it looked like it was the first time that she had seen it as well. So it was just a weird situation. So, I mean, I didn't want to look at that handprint any longer than I had to, so I decided to get some cleaning product, spray it down, and I started rubbing it, and a majority of it came off, but the whole thing would not go away, and it's still there. If I were to go back to my mom's house into that same closet, I could definitely point out where the handprint is. It's not as dark as it was, because again, I did try to clean it off, but it didn't completely come off. Now, another experience was right before I moved out, actually, and I was on the phone with my boyfriend at the time, and he himself didn't believe in ghosts or anything like that, and supernatural. He was very, everything had a reason for why things happened type of deal, and I was on the phone with him, talking about who knows what, and I was sitting on my couch, and on the couch that I was sitting at, closest to the window, you're able to see into the hallway of the area where all the bedrooms are, and right from there, you can see the bathroom door. If it's open, then you can see right into the bathroom. I was sitting at an angle to where I couldn't see completely inside of the bathroom, but I did see just the door and the mirror that's just right there. So I'm on the phone with my boyfriend, and we were just talking, and then all of a sudden, I was home alone, by the way, all of a sudden, I just see a dark shadow kind of crossing over into the bathroom, and I was on the phone, so I felt pretty brave, and I'm like, okay, that was weird. And he was like, what? And I said, no, nothing, because I knew he wasn't going to believe me. So I start walking towards that hallway, and then I just get this feeling of just complete dread. And I became honestly scared, and I didn't know what to do. And I just immediately started bawling, just crying my eyes out. And he can hear me on the other end, and now he's freaking out. He's like, Marcella, what's going on? What's going on? So, and just slowly, not even slowly at this point, because again, I honestly felt threatened. So I just walked out, and I actually didn't. I'm sorry. I ran out of the house, and I was just outside of my apartment just crying. And when I finally calmed down, I'm like, okay, you're not going to believe me. But I swear, I saw something. I saw something walk into my bathroom, and as I was walking up to go see what the hell happened, I couldn't. I froze. I was scared, and I started crying because I felt like something was going to hurt me. And he was saying, he's like, okay, I'm not saying that I don't believe you, but are you sure that this is all? He's like, you didn't see anything but a shadow, and that's it. All I saw was a shadow walk into the room, and I felt like it wanted to harm me. Now, I don't know if this all connects, but I kind of have a feeling it does. But I am a victim of sleep paralysis. Now, since I've moved out of the house, I couldn't say that I have experienced it, but not as much as I did when I lived in the house. And every time, I mean, thank God I didn't see anything while in sleep paralysis, but I did feel a presence. I did feel something in my room or something trying to come after me. Now, just how I sleep, I always sleep on my side, and I tend to fall asleep with my back towards the door. Now, every time I do get sleep paralysis, I would feel something trying to come through my door, but of course I couldn't see because I wasn't facing that way. My dad himself was a victim of sleep paralysis, and recently I had watched a documentary, and it's just crazy because sleep paralysis, I mean, a lot of people experience it, but yet we all see the same thing. I mean, some people may see more than others, or some people may feel a different presence than others, but originally from what I felt, it's just something dark and something scary coming into my room. But yeah, that was my experience or experiences. Sleep paralysis is definitely a scary thing, and I feel like that itself is just a whole other conversation. But that's my story.
And I do agree with her about the sleep paralysis, feeling like you're a victim of it, because I hope that's never happened to you, Harper.
That has never happened to me.
Good, because it is terrifying, and you do kind of feel like you're a victim of sleep paralysis. It's this really deep sleep state, I guess, but it feels like what's happening to you is very real. Like there's something in the room that's going to attack you, or something horrible, and you can't move. You know, sometimes it's like I've had it, and I'm like, if I could just open my eyes, if I could just open my eyes. Other times I've had it, and I'm like, I don't want to open my eyes. I don't want to open my eyes. Because it seems that real. Like if I open my eyes, I will see it. And other times, if I don't open my eyes, then it'll go away. But do you think that all of that could be connected to sleep paralysis? She kind of felt like it was.
I could see it being like connected to it as like just like an add-on that's like taunting her of it. But I could also see it be like a psychiatric thing. Where it's like after all these things taunting you, it could just be like to be honest, not that much more than just your mind playing tricks on you.
So do you think the sleep paralysis, it kind of messes with her head and it causes her to see things during the day? Or do you think they're two separate things?
I think the things that she's seeing during the day are causing the sleep paralysis, but not in a way like the paranormal is causing it, but like it's almost... That fear is almost like taunting her and like kind of, I'm not sure like if it's adding on to like a lack of sleep, but it could also be that.
Could be all connected.
It could, it's probably like fear induced of the things you're seeing in the day.
Mm-hmm. I wonder too, especially that one when she was on the phone with her boyfriend and she saw it walk into the bathroom, like a shadow walk into the bathroom, and she got really emotional and started crying. It kind of made me wonder, like, was the emotion that she was feeling kind of attached to whatever she just saw? And she was picking up on emotions from something? Or is she the type of person who gets really scared and starts crying? Some people do that. Because it doesn't seem like it's happened to her frequently throughout her life. It's not like a weekly occurrence or, you know, there might be, it sounds like a year or two in between things.
Now that's why I think it's paranormal. Not that it's just like a weekly thing, because that could just be seeing things. If it's so frequent that it just becomes like almost like normal, that it's like, I don't know. Sometimes you see things that are going on very specific points in your life. And I'm not sure if that was a very specific point in her life or not, but it could be.
Yeah, sometimes things happen. You know, you kind of open yourself up to other things, or sometimes when you're really emotional, you become more vulnerable. That's the first time I've ever heard anybody say being a victim of sleep paralysis. And I totally agree with that feeling. And I don't want it to ever happen to you. Because it's scary.
It probably won't.
But it's not ever going to happen to you. If you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. You can do that through applepodcast.com. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.